Let me read a little to you from the last chapter in our Bible. The words of the Lord Jesus himself. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then in verse 16, we read, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is the first come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'd like to say a little bit about the Lord Jesus as our morning star. Once you get to know the Lord Jesus, you find out a little bit more every day how much he means to you. I suppose when I received him as my Savior over 47 years ago, about all I knew was, he died in my place. He's my Redeemer. He's forgiven me. And someday I'll get to go to heaven. But then I found out that he's a great deal more than just a fire escape, just a means of saving us from a lost eternity, wonderful as that is. And as we read the New Testament together, we find out a great deal about what our Savior could come to mean to us as believers. He'd like to be, to you, your morning star. When you get up in the morning and see that bright star just preceding the dawn, what does it tell you? Well, it tells you that the day is about to come, the night is about gone. Now, this present age is called the night for a Christian. It's the only night we'll ever have. We're waiting for the day to dawn. We're looking for the morning star to appear, and then after that, the Sun of Righteousness to rise with healing in his wings. We're looking for a long and happy and eternal day, a day without clouds. This is the bright hope of believers, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, you're not looking for a morning star. This is all the day you'll ever have. You're looking for the night. It's an awful night, too. A night of everlasting darkness. They shall go away into everlasting darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. I tell you, this is serious business. If I were you, I would find out just what my relationship to the Lord Jesus really is. Don't be satisfied that you belong to church. Don't be satisfied with some historical event, baptism or confirmation or any of these things. You find out if you really have been born into the family of God. Make sure that the Lord Jesus is really your Savior. The coming of the Lord has no hope for the unbeliever. It'll be the end of the day of grace. If our Savior comes before I'm through speaking to you, you'll never have another opportunity to receive the Savior. You'll never have another opportunity to be saved. For salvation is not going to be offered to those who have rejected him in this present age. Never again. Now the Lord Jesus came the first time, and he came in answer to many, many promises. It's a wonderful study to go through the Old Testament and see how exactly the prophets, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, predicted the coming of the Lord Jesus, his first coming into this earth, to be our Savior. They told about his ancestries. They told where he would be born. They told when he would be born. They told how he would be born. They gave all of the details about his first coming, even about his death, about his sufferings, about his resurrection. And that was fulfilled in the very letter. And people who reject the Bible have got a big job on their hands to explain how that all of those predictions were fulfilled to the very letter, even though many of them were made 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came, or even longer. Some people who believe all those predictions seem to forget that there are many, many predictions in the New Testament about His second coming. 325 times in the New Testament, the coming of the Lord is mentioned. That would be about one verse in every 25. Every New Testament writer talks about the return of the Lord Jesus. Our Savior promised it Himself in the 14th of John. He said, I will come again. He didn't say, I'll send the angel of death or I'll send the Holy Spirit to come for you. He did say, you send the Holy Spirit. But He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. In the first chapter of Acts, the angels said, this same Jesus is so coming in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. So His return will be personal. It will be in two stages, we believe, what we call the rapture, when those who believe in the Lord Jesus are caught up to be with the Lord, and then His revelation, when He sets up His kingdom here on this earth, perhaps about 7 years later, after the Great Tribulation. Anyway, the Lord Jesus said, I'm coming back. Now we have no dates. All dates and figures are given to Israel. But we have many signs. One of the signs was the nation of Israel. And in our day, we have seen the nation of Israel revived. We have seen some marvelous things happening. And then there will be signs in the nations. Many things the Lord predicted. We can see now already the stage is set for the last conflict and the coming of the Antichrist and all of these things that the Lord says are going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Then there were certain signs in the professing church, too. The Laodicean state of things that you read about in Revelation 3 is certainly here. I tell you, as one who's tried to study this carefully, that I believe sincerely that we'll see the coming of the Lord not only in our day, but very soon. I'm not setting dates. I'm just telling you that I believe the Lord Jesus is coming back soon. What will His effect be? What will the effect of His return be? Well, on the church, it will be to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's no partial rapture taught in the New Testament. All who know Him are going to be caught up to meet Him. So it'll be a glad surprise. Some of you may be suffering. Some of you may be troubled. Some of you may be discouraged. Right now, you're facing a very dark future. And yet, in the next moments, you may be facing the Lord Jesus. You may be at home with Him. All of this past, for it'll take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What will the effect of His return be on the unsaved? They will have lost their last opportunity to trust Christ. Don't talk to me about a second chance when you've had dozens and maybe hundreds of chances to receive the Lord Jesus now. If you reject Him, you're left outside forever. I hope you're not foolish enough to do that. The effect of His return on Israel is going to be wonderful, for Israel will again be the head of the nations and not the tail. The effect of His coming on the nations of this world will be wonderful too. They've been looking for a man for a long time. They're going to be terribly disappointed in the last great world dictator, the man of sin, the Antichrist. Those who are left to go into the millennial reign will see the right man on the throne for the first time. In Titus 2 in verse 13, we're told that this is our blessed hope. And then we as believers really ought to love that appearing. If this is our blessed hope, we love Him, don't we? We'd certainly love to be at home. We'd love to have reunion with our loved ones. We'd love to see the day of reward come. We'd love to have new bodies, to be changed, to be like Himself. Well, then why shouldn't we love His appearing? And pray for it, too. For we're told that the church prays, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Suppose He comes today. Will you be ready? Has His precious blood cleansed you from sin? Have you trusted Him? If not, Would you like to do so just now while we pray? Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to those who are listening. We pray that those who have never received our Savior will see that their opportunities may be running out, and that they will say yes, they will receive this Savior who loved us and died for us and rose again. Help us who know him to live for him, and to live as though we expected him, moment by moment. Take our thanks, give thy blessing to all who are listening, in Jesus' name. Amen.